Job chapter 8. Turn to Job chapter 8. Boy, Job's had a mess of it, hadn't he? I mean, I tell you, I don't know. I only know one person who's had it as bad as Job. His name is Jesus. And the only reason I say he had it as bad as Job is he had all our sin put on him, and that's a lot to bear. So I still say no one had it as bad as Jesus. But man, next to Jesus, Job, I don't know if anybody had it worse than him. We're in chapter 8. We're moving right along here in this. And Eliphaz has made his statement. And of course, Job has countered that statement. And now, another one of Job's friends speaks up. And the reason I wanted almost to say so-called friends, but the reason I don't is I think they really are trying to help him. The problem is they're all wrong. Maybe some of the things they say is right by principle, but applied to the wrong person sometimes. And maybe some of their statements are just plain wrong. It's another thing that we need to remember is when we read the Bible, we need to take note of who is speaking. Because sometimes people take a doctrine from a passage when the guy who's talking is totally mistaken. We need to be careful. So if you hear somebody say, hey, my proven text is from Job, I want to see who's talking. And even Job, Job did not write this book. It's just, or we don't know that he did. What we know is it's an account of what he said. So even then, we need to be careful. But I tell you, Job's friends are a lot more mistaken than Job ever was. But here he comes. Then answered, chapter 8, verse 1, Bildad the Shuhite, and said, how long will you speak these things? And how long shall the words of your mouth be like a strong wind? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today. We ask your forgiveness where we failed you. Please strengthen us and help us serve you. Bless this message and bless everything that we do today for you. And may it be for you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I want to look at three mistakes that Bildad the Shuhite made. I love saying that. I don't know why. Bildad the Shuhite. Yeah. Did y'all hear what my wife said, what Susan said just a few minutes ago? That was funny. She said, it's funny to me to say that Bildad was only a shoe height, because my dad was 6'2", hers was 5-something. So, you know, it's a little closer to home, I guess, for her. And I thought, oh, that is funny. I thought that was like, I never had her do that I can think of. I mean, I'm like, can we take this to Broadway or something? That's great stuff right there. That's great. But this Bildad, the shoe height, his brain might be about a shoe height, because he makes three mistakes that we need to pay attention to. And they're all right here. How long will you speak these things? How long shall the words of your mouth be like a strong wind? Now, Bildad's bold. It almost sounds like to me like he's saying, man, you're blowing hot air here. It kind of sounds like that, doesn't it? Sounds like Bildad saying, you're just making a blustering wind. But in all reality, it was Bildad that was making the hot air.
It was Bildad
that was making the worthless noise because he was speaking presumptuously. What do I mean by that? I mean, Bildad did not know the whole situation, yet he was talking like he did. Bildad was totally convinced that Job had sinned. Totally convinced. But he had no evidence. He didn't even know what sin it was supposed to be. But he was totally convinced that Job had done something wrong. And in his presumption, he presumes to speak for God. You ever see somebody do that? Shame on you for doing what, whatever. And you're looking, my Bible don't say that's wrong, whatever it is this person's talking about. I don't know what's going on here, you know. We got to be careful when we try to speak, when we say somebody has done wrong or somebody, you know, we better make sure God says something before we try and talk for Him. Because I want to tell you something, God's got no trouble talking for Himself. As a matter of fact, later in this book, God will speak for Himself. And it's going to be interesting what He has to say. Now, we got a ways to go before we get there. But Bildad makes this presumption, I'll get it right, that he is speaking almost like he's speaking for God. You, Job, need to repent. Of what? And we point fingers at Bildad and we say, shame on you, but yet, if we're not careful, we could very well be guilty of the same thing. Somebody have a series of bad things happen to them. And you know, you hear at the top of somebody's head, I wonder if they're doing something wrong and God's punishing them. They need to shut their mouth. One, it's none of their business. Right? And two, even if they were, what good is it saying? Because I want to tell you something. Most of the time when God does something to somebody because of something they did, most of the time they're going to find that out without anybody telling them. A lot of times they know what they did. Holy Spirit's good at that sort of thing. I don't know about you guys, but if I start doing something wrong, I start feeling it. I know when I'm not right with God. Look at verse 3. Bildad asks, does God pervert judgment? Or does the Almighty pervert justice? If your children have sinned against Him, and He have cast them away for their transgression, here's the first mistake that Bildad makes. And it's one that I think Christians do make. And the mistake is this. The mistake is suffering and judgment are always the same thing. A lot of people think that if you're suffering, it must be a judgment. Does the Almighty pervert justice? No, but I warn you, this world is already perverted. The Lord doesn't have to do it. Justice is perverted here on the earth because it's filled with sinful men who do sinful things. And my goodness. Now think about, let's look at the example of when His kids were attacked. What was it? It was either his kids or his cattle, but at one point it was the bad guys that came and took all that and did all this stuff. And at that point, it wasn't God that did it. Because we know God causes no man to sin. The Bible tells us that. What it was, we know that God allowed the devil to use these evil people and these bad circumstances to attack Job. There is no justice in that. There is also no judgment in that. The judgment will come when those people have to face God later, which will happen. And here's a spoiler. Job will be front and center stage, cheering God on. So make no mistake, if somebody has hurt someone you love, first thing we want them to repent, don't we? We want them to trust God. I don't want anybody going to hell. I wouldn't wish it on Adolf Hitler, and he was bad. I'm pretty sure he's burning there right now. Because I've heard nothing about him repenting of what he did. But I'll tell you this. Judgment's coming. Justice is coming, but not yet. And Bildad made the presumption that suffering and judgment and justice are all somehow looped together. And another assumption he makes that's wrong is that judgment and justice is always going to happen here. It's not. And that's not one of the three mistakes, I think. Well, actually it is. It comes later, I think. People make that mistake a lot. Well, they'll get their comeuppance. That's a fun word. They'll get theirs. You know, they might, but it might not be here. But if I don't stop, I'm going to get ahead of myself. So let me keep reading. Verse 4 again. If your children have sinned against him, and you have cast them away for their transgression, we don't know whether or not Job's children had sinned. We don't. We have no evidence in Scripture. Now, we have evidence that that Job did a sacrifice in case they sinned, for Job said it may be, but we have no evidence that they did it. They didn't have time to say whether they did or not. They died. And the accusation by Bildad of Job's kids is insulting. It's offensive. And it's wrong. Again, we need to be careful what we say. And how we say it. And about who we say it. And I'm sure you can add and think of a dozen more things to add to that. We don't need to presume we know the whole situation. And that's one thing that Susan's been trying to teach me. And we've had discussions on it. Now, mind you, if somebody sins, it doesn't excuse the sin. However, it's not my job to throw the book at it. That's God's job. That's God's job. Now, is there a time where a church has to do discipline? Yeah, when it has to be that way. But as an individual person, not my job to throw the book at anybody. It's not my job to condemn anybody. And I want to tell you something. I want to give you a little secret that not a lot of people know. If they're condemned, they're condemned already. I don't have to do it. Did you know that? Did you know why Jesus came into this world? It wasn't to condemn. As a matter of fact, John 3 said he came into this world to save them, not to condemn them. And he said they were condemned already because they did not trust Jesus Christ. They didn't believe. They were already condemned from the start. They don't need us to do it. We know this, that God was using Satan to deal with these events to test Job, and it had nothing to do with what the kids did or didn't do. So Bildad was totally wrong. It's kind of like when he says, does God pervert justice or judgment? And if God was to speak right now, and I'm not saying he would say this, I'm saying he could say this, what does judgment and justice have to do with any of this? We went from talking to apples to talking about oranges. You know, you're on a different page here, Bildad. This is a test. It has nothing to do with judgment and justice. Nothing at all to do with it. Let's look at verse 5. It says, if you would seek unto God betimes and make your supplication to the Almighty, if you were pure and upright, surely He would awake for you and make the habitation of your righteousness prosperous. Though your beginning was small, your latter end should greatly increase. He said, turn to God, Job, and repent of your sin and be righteous. And when you're righteous, God will make all this go away. That's what he said. Mistake number two is this. Righteousness means material success. And we hear it from preachers all the time. If you will just, I'll say, what one guy says is, God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. Let's all roar our engines right now. A preacher actually said that. Isn't that the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard? There are people that fall for that stuff. You know what that's, you know what we call that? Or me and some other preachers call that? We call it prosperity gospel. It's a bunch of hooey. It's a bunch of mess. And I don't think God's happy with it because it distorts the truth. You know what righteousness often means? It means persecution. Did you know that? Matter of fact, Job is a book of a persecuted man. Why is he being persecuted? There we go. Because he's righteous. And the devil loves to mess with a righteous man to get him to not be righteous anymore. Now, thankfully, it didn't work with Job. It does work with a lot of other people. Sadly. But I think one of the reasons it works with a lot of other people is because people get the idea that if I'm righteous, everything's going to go my way. And if it doesn't, then why be righteous? Well, I can answer that. Well, partially anyway. Because I get rewards for being righteous and there's consequences for not being righteous. That's why I be righteous. How about this? Let's be righteous because it's the right thing to do. Not because I get anything out of it. Not because God's going to make me rich, which ain't gonna. I haven't seen that happen yet. I think we're all pretty much country folk here. I don't think God's made any of us rich, but we're trying to follow Him the best way we can. Where's our wealth, you know? Bildad thinks everything's going to be better if there's repentance. But there was no sin to repent of. Now, in the end, it would be better for Job. In the end, Job is actually going to have greater success, but it's not because of what Bildad said. Again, I need to say that we do not need to presume to speak for God. We don't control Him. And what Bildad says, what Bildad said, and what a lot of other people say that say similar things, whether it be to you or to somebody else or about you or about somebody else, holds no authority at all. My authority is in a properly understood Word of God. And properly understood, Bildad was all wrong. And I'm glad. I'm glad. Because that's the way God wants to do it. Excuse me. I apologize. I'm losing my... Oh, good. It's horrible. It's all at once. Let's continue reading verse 8. I'm fine. It's just sinus and mess. For inquire, I pray thee, and this is verse 8, of the former age, and prepare thyself to search of their fathers. For we are but of yesterday and know nothing. Because our days upon the earth are a shadow. So, Bildad now says, hey, go talk to your older men. I mean, we don't know everything. We're just youngsters compared to them. Talk to them. They'll tell you. Well, you know, that's all well and good if your older people that you're talking to know what they're talking about. Thank you so much. That's good if they know what they're talking about, but you know what? There is a way, my Bible says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are death. And there's a lot of people, old and young, who get it wrong. Now, I will be the first to admit, we need our older Christians. Because they have been around and they know things that we don't know. And I'm glad we got Brother Darrell as everybody's papaw, because I want him to stick around here as long as he can. Because we need to milk all the wisdom he's got. And Miss Jean too. Brother Ken, you too. Miss Delore. Miss Patsy. Been around a while. Hope you stick around a while longer. But you know some things that we need to learn. But you guys read the Bible. You guys trust God. You guys know Jesus, and you know works don't save, and you know what's right. But folks, I want to tell you, there's some people out there same age as you guys, that don't know a thing. Ask the older generation. They'll tell you a whole lot of different things. Verse 10 says, shall they not teach you and tell you and utter words out of their heart? Can the rush grow up without mire and the flag grow without water? While it is yet in its greenness and not cut down, it withers before any other herb. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. Now, that's true, it's not wise to do evil. It's true, it's not wise to be a hypocrite. Because trouble can truly come out of it. However, Bildad has got a mistake here, and we're going to find it. We're going to continue reading, though. Verse 14, whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web. He shall lean upon his house, but it will not stand. He will hold it fast, but it will not endure. He is green before the sun, and his branch shoots from his garden. His roots are wrapped about the heap, and he sees the place of stones. If he destroy him from his place, then it shall deny him, saying, I haven't seen you. Now, that's a lot of words people might not get. And it goes on, but I'm just going to kind of sum it all up, say this, that Bildad said, if somebody's not living the way that they should, nothing's going to work right for them. Really? Really? Because I could mention some names. I ain't going to because I don't want to mention those people's names in church. But I could mention some names of some people who are very sinful and very successful. The third mistake that Bildad made is that evil men cannot succeed materially. Oh, yes, they can. They just can't succeed spiritually. And I guarantee you, the spiritually is the more important. I want to tell you, Job is a book of poetry. And it's an odd way of putting things, especially for us that live in this time and this place. But we can understand the mistakes that they made. And they've made some major mistakes. And I won't read on, but if you were to read on, what you would find is that he was saying a lot of that. He was repeating himself. He's saying, if you live wrong, you won't succeed. Oh, how I wish that were true. Oh, how I wish that were true. But I want to tell you something. There's coming a day. There's coming a day when the evil will not succeed, and when the righteous will prevail. But that day is not today. That day is when Jesus comes and reigns on this earth for 1,000 years and things are actually how they need to be. But oh, don't think that I'm saying don't live righteous. Because those people who are having material success right now and are living unrighteously, if they don't repent of their sin, they will go to hell for eternity. Listen, the short amount of time that we're here on this earth is nothing compared to eternity. And a small amount of success compared to a world of torment, there's no comparison.